And he can't do anything that's unrighteous. It's impossible for God to do anything that is not right. It's impossible to God to do anything that it says it's impossible for him to lie. He can't commit an unrighteous act. And so people talk, and I appreciate the salvation that we have. And I think one of the preachers said that we talk about it being free, and yet it wasn't free. It did cost the Lord something. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid for your sins on that cross. And the good news is, what the world needs to hear is that there is a Savior. There is a person that came into this world, lived a perfect life, fulfilled the law to the T, that never committed any sin. No gall was found in his mouth. He never had an unholy thought. He never had anything that would defile him. And yet, he went to that cross and paid the wages of sin, which is death. We all work for wages. We go to a job, we have a certain wage that we work for. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ had no sin. He's not paying his wages for it. He's paying your wages for it. He's paying a debt that you could not pay. As Robbie talked about, you're accursed. You're defiled. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man on this earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none good, no, not one. There's nobody in here that's worth the gunpowder to take it to blow you into hell. You're no good. You were born of parents that were no good. You can't get good in your own self. You can't be good enough to please a holy and a righteous God. You can't. What can you, as a corrupt individual that you are, as a sinner that you are, there's no good in you. What can you offer to a holy and righteous God? Nothing. I hope it's not too loud. But you will hear me. The problem with people today, the reason they won't get saved is because they never see themselves in need of a Savior. They look at the people that go to church and say, well, I'm as good as they are. Look at old John Doe there. He's an old hypocrite. He goes every Sunday. I don't live like that. It ain't got nothing to do with how you live. It has nothing to do with what you're going to do. It's about what you believe. Your sins is not the problem. So how is God Almighty, a righteous God, going to accept some unrighteous person that I am? I look at what he says in Romans chapter 3 about mankind. He said in verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they're all under sin. Look in verse 19. For we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Like, shut up, don't say nothing. You have nothing to say about the matter. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You are a guilty sinner tonight in need of a Savior. And let me tell you this, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got His identity for once. but you still got that old sinful body, and you're still just an old sinner saved by the grace of God. Now, look what he says in verse there. He said in verse 11, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. Is there any that's seeking after God today? I mean, you hear them say, well, I sought God in an old-fashioned altar. Why does it have to be an old-fashioned altar? I mean, I walked the aisle. I sought God. I'm seeking the face of God. I'm trying to pray through. I remember when I was 16 years old, I told this hundreds of times too. I was standing back there and they was having one of... Now, I was raised in I've had songbooks thrown at me in services now. I'm telling you. I've had the duck, man. Shouting never did bother me because I was raised around it. But anyway... I was 16 and I felt standing back there, and a friend of mine was beside me, and the preacher, and he'd come down the aisle and he'd grab and hold my arm. I said, oh man. And he said, have you ever been saved? And my very words, I said, nope, I'm lost. If I died right now, I'd go to hell. I wasn't going to lie to him. And he just, he was pulling me. And I looked up. I was down there and I wasn't going to go. And I looked up and I seen my mama. She was like that. And you all know, you had to know my mama. And I thought, I can't go home. So down the aisle I went. Man, they gathered around me and they thought they had the prize catch of the day. And they gathered around me and they was all, praying and going on and slobbering and belling. And I was just there. And they got down there and they got me up and said, you say, yeah, boy. I felt good. I felt good. I did what they wanted me to do. I knew Mama'd be happy about it. I felt good. But I wasn't saved. I never saw myself lost. I knew I was lost, but I didn't really see myself lost. But I thought, well, man, that's it. And the preacher said, you got to get baptized. And so I got baptized. And I was going to church. And we got on it. They wanted me to go, wanted me to preach. I preached as lost as I could be till that night when I junked it off. You see, folks, you got to get lost before you'll ever get saved. You got to see yourself as God sees you before you ever see Christ as your Savior. You know, he said, they that are whole need not a physician. When do you think about going to the doctor when you realize there's something wrong? You realize I'm sick. I need some help. I can't fix the problem in myself. I need help. And you go to the doctor. That's the way it is with salvation. You'll never see your need of a Savior, do you realize there's something wrong with me that I can't fix? I like watermelons. And I try to grow watermelons. I got me a tractor and we had a garden and I just grew and I try to grow these watermelons and a couple of years, I'd get maybe one good one and the rest of them would be twisted up, look like gourds, and the ends of them die out. And I got so frustrated last year, I said, I ain't having a garden this year. Well, we had some trees pruned. Took the limbs out and they put them through that shred or whatever. And that guy said, let me dump this down there behind your shed down there. And so I said, well, yeah, let's put it. It'd be out of the way. We was down there, we were mowing around it, and June said, well, you got a watermelon plant growing out of that stuff. I didn't think nothing about it. He said, that's a couple of tomato plants. I said, that's where you've been throwing your scraps at, ain't it? In the mulch. And so that plant just kept growing and kept growing and kept growing. I wasn't going to water it. I didn't do nothing to it. I didn't fertilize it. I mean, you know, before we had trying to grow watermelons up there, I'd dig out holes, just work myself, put in manure and put in all this stuff. And I mean, had topsoil brought in and I had the pretty, I'd do it just working my, couldn't get nothing to grow. You nasty. We'd get maybe a little and nothing. That thing just, I kept walking, I'm mowing around that thing. That thing just kept growing. I wasn't gonna do nothing to it. Do you know last week I went out to that plant and I cut a watermelon off of that thing and it weighed over 40 pounds. I might have never got that thing in the house. It was grown up on top of the mulch pile. If people coming down the road, I had to climb up on top of that thing and try to get that thing up and get that in the house. And June looking at that thing, and she said, we need to take a picture, and I need to set it down. And we cut that thing, and that was the best, sweetest watermelon I had ever eaten, and I didn't do a thing to it. June said, I think the Lord just sent that to show you up. I got to thinking about that. Isn't that the way salvation is? I mean, people working themselves to death trying to get something, and when all it is, just quit working and let it be and just trust what Christ did, and Brother God will take care of the rest. There's a watermelon. I looked down there before we left and come up here and had six more on that plant. We cut and seed. I go to people's house and say, do you like to have a piece of watermelon? They got it cut up and the seed is, you know, in it and everything. You have to spit the seeds out and everything. Like some preaching, you know. It's good, but you have to spit some of the seeds out. But June likes to seed, take the seeds out. And we work, and we flip, and it took us forever. 40-pound watermelon seed that cut it up. And we got six more back there. I ain't never planting another watermelon. If they don't grow out of the mulch pile, we ain't going to never have none. But folks, don't listen. If you're here, you're lost. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can offer the Lord. He's done it for you. Now let me give you a couple things. First of all, God, by the cross, because of what His Son did, can be righteous in forgiving you of all your sins. If them sins hadn't have been paid for, there is a fixed rule, just like you throw something up in the air, the law of gravity is going to make it come down. That's a fixed rule you can't get by. And there's a fixed rule, Jesus, your sins have to be paid for, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's a fixed rule, and the wages of sin is death. That's a fixed rule, and so something perfect had to die for your sins, and you're not perfect, so you couldn't have died for them. Now, He died for your sins so God can be righteous in forgiving you of all of your sins. Boy, isn't that something? Look in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, for whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's the key. You find this over and over. Look back in Romans 3 and look in verse 22. Even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. It's your belief, folks. Your sins have been paid for. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Your sins is not the reason why you're lost. Your sins is not the reason why people go to hell. It's your unbelief that's going to send you there. The reason you're not saved is because you hadn't believed it for yourself. You believe that Jesus Christ, you can believe the historical facts about the death, burial, resurrection, but that's not salvation. Believe it for yourself. Let it be the gospel of your salvation. Let it be the personal day that I trusted on the Lord. I trusted in what He did for me. I want you to know He's righteous in forgiving you of all your sins. That word propitiation, I like that word. It just simply means satisfied. Satisfaction. God was satisfied with the death of His Son for you. Now John uses the word propitiation. Look in 1 John and notice over there in chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2. And you see, folks, I have forgiveness of sin. I'm not waiting to get forgiven. My faith does not need to be tried. I do not have to endure to the end to receive what I already have. But these people have to endure. Look in 1 John chapter... Well, I'll tell you what, go back to chapter 1. In 1 John 1, 9, most people know this. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, to advocate is to plead in favor of. It's to defend by argument. Moses in Exodus 32 is a prime example. When Israel had made the molten calves, he was up on the mount. And the Lord told him, said, they've already turned aside. Leave me alone. Let my wrath wax hot. I'm destroying them. And he became an advocate and pleaded in favor of them to keep God from destroying them. Folks, you don't have an advocate. He's not up there pleading in your favor to keep God's wrath on you, off of you. He bore the wrath of God in your stead. The wrath of God was poured out on Him in that day. And I see Him hanging on that cross. I see Him saying, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? I see Him up there on that cross where they stripped Him down naked. They beat on Him. They beat Him in the face. His eyes swelled shut. Lips busted open. Cracked open. Plowed His back like furrows up His back. You could see His inside suffering, bleeding and dying, being cursed by God the Father. He said in the garden, God, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. He realized He was going to have to become what you are and bore your wrath that you're supposed to have. God made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What a Savior we have. and the fact that God would turn His Son over to a Gentile world where they mocked Him and made fun of Him. They stripped Him down naked. They cursed Him. They spit on Him. They pulled His beard out. He bore your shame. And He did all of that for you. And God would be unrighteous if He allowed you salvation without believing in His Son. He's a righteous God. We don't have an advocate. That was for, but verse 2 in chapter 2 said He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Well, look what He talks about. He was a propitiation for their sins. He was the Lamb. As a Lamb, they looked at Him as the Lamb of God. He said, this is the cup of the blood of the New Testament which is shed for many. And as Moses took that lamb and that lamb in Egypt and he sanctified them to get them over to the promised land, they would got to go through the wilderness. If they turned in unbelief, they never would enter into His rest. And the same is for these people. What they got to do? They got to confess their sins and look to the Lamb of God, believing that He is the Son of God. Your sins has already been forgiven. I don't have nothing to confess. I'm going to show you why. Look back with me and turn to Colossians chapter 2. God's righteous in forgiving me of all my sins. And folks, if He forgive them of all, He forgive them of all. In Colossians chapter 2, notice what He said. In verse 13. Well, I'm glad y'all got that fan blowing up here. Took it here. Colossians chapter 2. You know, I looked up the word preaching in my old dictionary. What I got two or three, but this one said, delivering a message in a tiresome way. That's mine. Look what he said in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened together with Him. Well, when did He quicken Him? Resurrection, didn't He? Were you quickened with Him? Having forgiven you all trespasses. Now look in verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Something was blotted out. What was the handwriting of ordinances? Look in Ephesians. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, notice what he says. Verse 14. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. And by the way, them handwriting of ordinances would include what Paul took to the churches in Acts 15. Amen? Verse 15. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now verse 15 said He abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. Something was blotted out. It was abolished. If you abolish something, is it gone? Look in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. How can God accept somebody like me? Because somebody like me is in somebody like His Son. You see, God don't see me as me. He sees me in His Son. My life is hid with Christ in God. I'm double sealed. I'm in Christ, in God. And when Christ, who is my life, shall appear, I will appear with Him in glory. And thank God, in His righteousness, God sees me as a finished, done deal product.
Amen.
He don't see me like I am. Thank God. He don't want to see me out on the road with all this traffic. But the law, look at in chapter 4, in Romans chapter 4. Notice what he says there in verse 15. Now we just believe this book, don't we? We've been saying we believe this Bible. Verse 15, because the law worketh wrath, where no law is, there is no what? Is there a transgression without the law? Was the law done away with? Look in chapter 5. In chapter 5. Notice in verse 13. For unto the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Come on, folks. What's sin? Sin's a transgression of the law. Well, if there ain't no law, can you have sin? It's done away with. You say, well, wait a minute. Go out and rob a bank. You'd do that anyway if you wasn't afraid of getting caught. That doesn't make... Look what Paul said there. He says, notice, verse 11, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Look over with me in chapter 6. In chapter 6. So what are we supposed to do about this? I've died. The law put me to death. Don't you understand? The law said I was guilty. The law said there was a trial. They found nothing against the Lord, but He died. The law put Him to death in my state. I was guilty. I was the sinner. I was the guilty one. The law said you got to die. What can I do? You're going to die. I died in Christ that day. As far as God's concerned, the law satisfied. I died in Jesus Christ. In that day, I was buried and I rose the third day with Him. And I'm seated with Him right now in heavenly places. And there ain't a thing I can do about it. I'm so saved, I'm going to heaven whether I want to or not. And I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. And I don't want to go after Obie preach like he did. I don't know. I don't know worms on me. Folks, I'm sealed. I'm secure. Why? What could condemn me? Well, look what he said. He said there in verse, in chapter 7. No, in chapter 8, I'm sorry. He talks about all things, as Brother Steve talked about. He come on down. He said in verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Thank God we're going to be placed as the sons of God someday after the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of these days, I'll be like Jesus Christ. You know what my attitude toward? It's the same as the Lord was toward the Father. He said, the words that I speak are the Father's. He had the Father's words. He taught and done what the Father wanted Him to do. The will of the Father was what He done. How are you going to be in eternity? You're going to do the will of the Father. You're going to talk like what the Father wants you to say. You're going to be the Son of Almighty God by adoption and by identification with Him in glory out there. Man, what a message we got. My Lord, people want to hoot and holler. Folks, that's something to get excited about. One of these days, I ain't going to have to worry about this old body. I ain't going to have to worry about my hair falling out. Some of you don't have to worry about it now. One guy told me, said his was turned gray, but it hadn't turned loose. Mine's done both. I often wondered about that verse in Luke, said that even the hairs of your hair are numbered. The Lord has to count mine every day to keep up with them. Oh, they're going. I don't have to worry about that. I won't have to worry about joint arthritis and pain. I won't have to worry about sinning. Won't have to worry about whether I say something right or not. Everything will be in the perfect will of God. Everything I say will be what He wants me to say. Everything I do will be what He wants me to do. I'll live in eternity as a Son of Almighty God, conformed to the image of His Son. That's what He wants for you. And He's got it there. Now look down, he says in verse 30, he said, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" He goes on, "Who can separate us from the love of Christ?" He said, "I'm persuaded at nothing," down in verse 38, "for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities," that's the positions of a rank out there in the heavens, that's Satan, Lucifer, and all his cohorts, that's all the demoniac forces out there that he can muster up, "there ain't nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ." He said, "the principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature," that includes you because you are a creature, and he said, "shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I thank God today He's righteous in forgiving me of my sins, and He took out the law that could condemn me, and there's nothing now. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If Jesus God could look at Brian Sipe today and find fault with him, He would be finding fault in His Son. And He looked down on heaven and He split the sky and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And folks, I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and I'm saved by His grace. Nothing that I did, it was all done for me, and I have eternal life. I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. He's going to change this vile body someday, and I'm going to live in eternity with Him out there in the future. How I want you to come and go with me. What do I need to do? Believe the message of grace. Believe the gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sins. All of them. And there is nothing that you need to confess. All you need to do is realize I'm a sinner. I'm lost. Lord, I believe that You died for me, and I believe You died for all of my sins, and I'm going to trust that. And if I go to hell, I'll go to hell believing that Your Son died. You won't go to hell. He'll save you. And if He don't, then He be unrighteous. And this Bible, we might as well throw it away. Folks, that right there is just as much truth as John 3:16, 2 Timothy 2:15. He is our Savior. Thank you, Brother Steve.
I know this is going to come as a great shock to you all, but I forgot something.